This coming Shabbos is Parsha Shmos. The Parsha begins. Ere Shmos Bnei Yisrael Haboyim Mitzrayma. This happened thousands of years ago. The Torah writes it in the present. It's happening now. Haboyim Mitzrayma. Rav Soloveitchik has a published essay on this topic. He says the only way for the Jews to retain their identity if they're in Chutz La'aretz and Golos is if they feel like strangers. Like when Yaakov Avinu visits Paro, so he says to him, Lo gabo aretz banu, ke mir al atzana shel avadecha, ke chavir harav yeretz kinoam. So we say in the Haggadah, Melamed shelo yored Yaakov Avinu lehishtakeh b'mitzrayim ala logasham. He only wanted to live there temporarily. He didn't plan to live there permanently. So that's why it says, Haboy Mitzrayma. They lived in Mitzrayim for 210 years. For much of the time, they felt as if they just came. They felt like strangers, like foreigners. They didn't really want to blend in. When the Jews live in Chutz La'aretz, we should always have in mind that we want to go back to Eretz Yisrael whenever it's possible. Whenever a person can make a reasonably decent parnasa in Eretz Yisrael. We have a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. I remember when my first son, I have three sons, and my oldest son, the one who just moved to Minneapolis, so when he got engaged to a girl in Montreal, so we all drove up to Montreal for Shabbos, and then on Mitzvah Shabbos, they had a party, an engagement party. So Rabbi Pinchas Hirschsprung was still alive at that time, so he attended. So he said, the girl's name is Green. The family's name is Green. The girl's father learned in yeshiva. He had smicha in yeshiva. I remember him from my time. He's a little younger than me, but we knew each other when we were in yeshiva. So Rabbi Hirschsprung said, when he first came after the war, he came to Canada. So he said, where were the religious Jews in the city? So they told him, the Greena. The Greena is when you, in Yiddish, you say, a foreigner. Who doesn't speak the language, he's a greener. So he said, the greener were the from. So he says, and their name is Mama Green. They're the greener. They're the religious people that lived in the city for a long time. That's it. When the Jews feel too comfortable in Chutz La'aretz, then it's going to lead to assimilation. So it has to be a b'china of Haboy Mitzrayma. And the Sefer Hasidim, he has an instruction. He says the Jews should never build brick homes in Chutz La'aretz. If you buy a brick home, it's a different story, but you should build a brick home like you plan to stay here for a long, long time. That's not right. That's like you plan melechatchila lehishtakeya. It's not a smart idea.
Is a brick facade the same thing? Or I mean literally that?
I mean the building is what? Really made from?
Wood.
Wood. Yeah. No, that's not the same. You build a brick home, that's lehishtakeya. I think so. So the parsha has an interesting expression that they appointed a new king in Egypt. So there's a medrash that points out because what do you mean lo yada es Yosef? He didn't know history, never heard of President Bush. You weren't born. Maybe some of you weren't born when Mr. Bush was the president, but you heard we had a President Bush. Never heard of President Truman. You never heard of President Roosevelt. You know the history. He didn't know that there was such a Yad as Yosef. It means he didn't feel indebted to give Hakoras HaTayv to the Jewish people. Yad as Yosef means he didn't have a sense of Hakoras HaTayv to Yosef. So the Medrash said this is what led him here. The Lashon HaPasuk is Lo Yada. And then later when Moshe Rabbeinu confronts Paro and he says, I have a message from Elokeihu Ivrim, Shalacham Ivyabdun, he says, Lo Yadaiti as Hashem. I don't recognize him. Because it was the Lo Yadas Yosef, that's why it led to Lo Yadaiti as Hashem. That what's machazik, our amun and our Kodesh Baruch Hu, is the sense of gratitude that we have to human beings, the boss of Adam. And if you have a sense of Hakoras HaTayv, sense of gratitude, then you'll have a gratitude to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And even though he's invisible, we won't forget about him. But if you don't practice Hakoras HaTayv to a boss of Adam, so it's easy to forget about God. So Hakoras HaTayv is considered a very significant midah in our religion because that's mechazik that helps us retain our emunah in our Kodesh Baruch Hu. There is a Gemara in the end of Brachas, but the Gemara has a machlokes regarding the text of the Bracha of Nishmas Kol Chai. In the days of the Gemara, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, they used to recite Nishmas Kol Chai when they needed rain in Eretz Yisrael. There was no rain for a while. And finally the rain comes, so the farmers, who had a sense of gratitude, would recite Nishmas Kol Chai to Baruch Hashem. In Eretz Yisrael, they have by the coast of Marav every night, I think they say Nishmas Kol Chai at midnight. Every night. I think Rab Chaim Kanievsky recommended that. He said, instead of waiting till the Rabban Shalom does Yivat Toiv and then thanking him, so thank him in advance, so he'll be the Baal Chayiv, so he'll be Mechayiv to you. So every night they have a group of people by the Kodesh Lama Rabbi, they say, Neshmas Kol Chai. I remember once I was speaking, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and then I spoke on Matzoi Shabbos at the Yeshurun Synagogue. Someone asked me to speak there. And then we'll be going back to America on Sunday morning. So one fellow comes over to me in Yeshivan Synagogue. He says, would you like to go to the Kodesh Lama Rabbi tonight? So I said, I think my wife would like it. My wife was there. She wanted to go to the Kodesh Lama one more time before we go back to America. So good. So he says, after I finish speaking, so he's going to drive us to the Kodesh Lama Rabbi. So he drives us, and it's already late. So at midnight, he's driving the car. We came after him. At midnight, his radio goes on. Not his radio, I don't know what it was. Maybe his watch, I don't know. And he hears them saying, Nishmas Kol Chai to Kodesh Lama Rabbi. So he says, every night he goes to say Nishmas at midnight, and tonight he's late. So whenever he doesn't make it, the radio goes on by itself. It's a clock to go on at midnight to say Nishmas Kol Chai. Then I remember he drove us up to the Kodesh Lama, and then he waves to the people that they let him drive in his car. Then he drives all the way to the other gate on the other side, takes a key out of his pocket, he opens up the gate, he starts giving us a tour of the tunnels. So my wife asked him, how can you have the keys? So he said, he made the security system for the Kodesh Lama Rabbi. How did he make the security system? When he was a child, he used to tinker with electronic things, and he self-taught, he figured it out. So he wanted to come to America, I think afterwards, wanted to come to America to sell his, he had a security system set up for Shabbosim, that you can secure your house from Gan Avim, and when you go into the house, it won't pose a problem. So he asked Dr. Lim that he should give him an endorsement. So Dr. Lim said, when you come to America, show it to the Rabbanim in Yeshiva University. If they'll endorse it, then you'll be able to sell. So he showed it to, he had a group of us together. None of us agreed. I don't know what it was based on. Rabbi Tendler and Rabbi Willig and myself, I think there was someone else there, and none of us thought that it was mutter. His security system for Shabbos. I don't know, maybe he modified it afterwards, but so what was I talking about? Yeah, so the Gemara has a machlekes and the end of brachas, what's the text of Nishmas Kol Chai? So one opinion is you have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's Mehulol B'Rayv HaTishbachas. Right usually means the majority of the Tishbachas. The other text has, they just say, Hamuhula b'chala tishbachas. So the Gemara says, why only Roiv? Why not Kola tishbachas? The Gemara says, they're both good ideas. Hilchat haminu l'travayu. That's why you should say both. That's the girsa, that's Nusach Ashkenaz has like that. And Nusach Svar has a different girsa in the Gemara. The Chachmi Svar have different texts in the Gemara. That they don't say, Hamuhula Nusach Svar. I think they say, Roiv HaTishbachas. They say, Amuhul HaTishbachas. They don't say Roiv HaTishbachas. It's based on two girsas in the Gemara. So it's taka strange. Why do we say, the Gemara says, when we say Roiv, it sounds like only Roiv and not Kol HaTishbachas. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu deserve all of the praises? So that's the Ramban asked that question. The Ramban answers that Roiv HaTishbachas doesn't really mean majority, 51%. Roiv means Ribui HaTishbachas, a multitude of praises. Rav Soloveitchik suggested that maybe the pshat is Roiv HaTishbachas, what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to give him all of the praises. He wants us to save some of the praises, some of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Basav Adam. Because if you don't have HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Basav Adam, then you're not going to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you're going to forget about him. So he interpreted, there's a Gemara in Bava Kamma. We're learning Bava Kamma this year. The Gemara has, I think, in Perek HaChovel, either Perak HaRevel or Perak Merubah, things and achayvo. The Gemara quotes different pitgamim amamiyim, popular expressions that the people used to say. So one of them was chamra lemora v'tivusa l'shakem. When you go to a wedding, so the wine is chamra is the wine. The wine is paid for by the bala simcha, whoever, chasan's kala, the father, the kala, the father, whoever, whatever the minigam din is, whoever pays for the wine. But you say thank you to the waiter who pours the wine. The wine doesn't belong to the waiter. The waiter is salaried for serving the wine, and the waiter is given a tip. So everything is covered. But nonetheless, that's the practice. Chamra lamar, the wine is paid for by the bala simcha, the tivusa, the thank you, the yashikach is l'shakir. You have to thank the waiter who serves the wine. Why is it taka so? So Rav Soloveitchik explained that if you're going to go with the strict cheshbon, I don't owe the waiter a debt of gratitude. The wine is not his. He's being salaried and he's being tipped also. I shouldn't thank him. So no one will thank their wife for cooking the food and for doing the laundry and for raising the children. I give my wife my paycheck. She buys all the dresses and all the pocketbooks and all the matching shoes and all the matching hats and 20 shetlin. So what should I thank my wife? The wife is not going to thank the husband for giving her the check because she does all the work for him. I'm not going to thank my employer. They underpay me. Where can they get such a gewaltige maget shiur? Nowhere in the world. For such a little, they should give me $5 million for giving the shiur. I'm not going to thank him. They're not going to thank me because they pay me. So no one's going to, the boss is not going to thank the employee. The employee's not going to thank the boss. No one's going to thank anybody. No one's going to have to, if you really think into it, nobody does things for you for nothing. Everybody gets something in exchange. There will be something in exchange. You only thank people who do something for you, but they don't get something back in exchange. There's going to be very little hakoras hatov. So if you're not going to develop hakoras hatov to a boss of a dumb, even though they really don't, in principle, they maybe don't really deserve it, then we're going to lose the whole sense. It's easier to have hakoras hatov to a human being who is in front of your eyes as opposed to hakoras hatov to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's based on this medrash. That because Parah was Loyodas Yosef, he didn't have Hakaras HaTov to the boss of Adam, that led him later to Loyodaiti Es Hashem. That led him to be an Apikaris. That's what the Mashgiach, Zichron Livracha, when I was in Talmud, Rabbi Lessen was the Mashgiach. So this was his favorite, this was a favorite mimer of his. It says when they made the Migdal Bovil, the Ribbono Shel Olam went down to see, to look into it, to see the Migdal Shebonu Bnei HaAdam. So I think Rashi quotes from the Medrash, of course, Bonu Bnei HaAdam. The Chisal Kedaitach Bnei Chaborim. Of course, human beings built a Migdal. Should just say, Vayered Hashem Lirisas HaMigdal Shebonu, or Lirisas HaMigdal. It says in the previous passage. Why does it say Bnei HaAdam? So the Medrash says, Bnei HaAdam means the descendants of Adam Arishan. Because when Adam Arishan sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu confronts him, so he doesn't have HaKoras HaTov to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam gave him a wife, Givaldik. He says, it's all your fault, Ribbono Shel Olam. Instead of having HaKoras HaTov to the Ribbono Shel Olam and admitting that he sinned, so he pins the blame on the Ribbono Shel Olam. You gave me this witch of a wife, and it's her fault, and she's the one who gave me, she's the one who insisted I should eat from the Eitz Hadas. So it's not my fault, it's your fault. So because Adam HaRishon lacked HaKoras HaTov, so this carried over generations later, many generations later, to the Dor HaFloga, when they made the Migdal to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you lack HaKoras HaTov, then you're not, to a boss of Adam, then you're not going to have HaKoras HaTov to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you're gonna consider rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the significance of this pasuk. Lo yodas Yosef, he didn't have hakaras hatov to Yosef, and that's why it led later on to lo yadaiti es Hashem. I never heard this from Rav Soloveitchik, but I was once in Eretz Yisrael. So one of the rabbonim was saying that he spent a year in America, and when he was here in America, he used to go attend Rabbi Soloveitchik's shiurim in Moria. Used to give a shiur on Tuesday night for Balabatim, and a lot of Rabbanim used to attend. So he said, Rabbi Soloveitchik once made a comment, Yavidu Mitzrayim is Bnei Yisrael Beforech. So what do you mean, Beforech? Rashi says, Bavoy de Kosha, Amafarech es Saguf, Umishabarta. Porech means, Avoy de Sperech means hard work. So the Medrash has another comment, that they made women do men's work and they made men do women's work. So make the women do men's work is more difficult than what they used to. That's avodah mefarachas. What's so bad if the man is doing a woman's work? The women have lighter work. So that's also called avodah perach. If a person isn't challenged to do the maximum that he's able to do, let's say a person can learn much better, and he's only given shvacha learning, superficial fluff, shvacha stuff, that's also called perach. The Medrash considers that a form of avodah perach. If a person has talents and he doesn't use the talents, men have the craft to do more difficult work, and you don't use that koyach. So that's the Medrash calls that also avodah perach. So this rabbi was encouraging the talmidim to strain themselves to learn to the maximum. Otherwise, they're going to be if they're going to be underworked, then they're going to be this. They won't be happy. A person to be happy has to use all of his potential. There's a famous marsha that's very questionable. He comments on the pasuk. I think the marsha is in Saita. The Gemara in Saita, the first paragraph, has a lot of agarta about this parsha. So the pasuk says, Melech Mitzrayim called the Meyaldos HaEvrios, the Jewish women who would help the mothers deliver the babies, the midwives. So he had called upon them that they should kill the babies before they're born. Why did he? And then they didn't do that. And then he confronts them. How come? It's not our fault. He gave birth before we came. You only told us we should kill the babies when the state of a fetus. After they're born, it's murder. You can't kill them. And they give birth. They have a very short labor, and they give birth before they call us. They give birth before we come to their home. So why did they only call upon the Jewish mothers, the Jewish midwives? So Poshup Shat, the non-Jews had non-Jewish midwives, and the Jewish women had Jewish midwives. Poshup Shat. The Marsha has a halachic suggestion that the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Benoch is chayv misal ha'ubrin. If a Nochri performs an abortion, he's chayv misal. If a Jewish person kills an uber, kills a fetus, you're not chayv misal. That's what the Mishnah says in Nida. Tinik ben yamechod ha'harga neragolet. If a baby's one day old, means it was born, if you kill the baby, you're chayv misal. There's a din midirabbanan that until 30 days, we treat the baby as if it's a suffix nafil, some of the rabbanon, you don't give the death penalty. But in the Torah, there is no such din. The baby is not considered a suffix nafil. If it's any ado of kololoch hadoshav, if the baby is kololoch hadoshav, kololoch hadoshav in the days of the Gemara means 9 full months. 9 full months of 30 days each. So that's a full-term pregnancy. In the days of the late Rishonim in Shulchan Aruch, it says the end of Eben Ezer, it says in Hilchos Yibam Machalitza, there are more paskins like the Tashbetz, that whatever it was in the days of the Gemara, whatever it was in the days of the Rambam and the Ramban, today for sure it's different. It's perfectly normal that a woman gives birth to the babe in the beginning of the 9th month. So you don't need 9 full months of 30 days each. If you have 8 full months of 30 days each, and one day into the 9th month, that's considered a full-term pregnancy. So if a woman had a full-term pregnancy, she has a baby, that's not called a suffix nafil. That's about that bar kayam. And even if the baby dies the next day, the family has to observe avelus. They have to observe shiva. The only din that if the baby dies within 30 days, you don't observe avelus. That if it's any odu shekola chadosha. If it's vaday shekola chadosha, if you know for sure the baby was not a full-term pregnancy, if for sure it was not a full-term pregnancy, then the baby is considered a suffix nafil until he reaches the age of 20. That's what the Gemara says. The Chazon Ish says that doesn't apply b'zman hazeh, when they put your baby in an incubator, and then the hospital releases the baby, and they say the baby is just as healthy as any other baby. So the fact they held him in an incubator is like he's still in the mother's womb for another month, another couple of weeks. So that's called kolal chadosh. That's what the Chazon Ish said. Today they have incubators, so we don't have such a thing. The Minchas Yitzchak doesn't want to change. The Minchas Yitzchak, my mom is a Hungarian. So the Hungarians told you don't change anything. And then he was from the Eidach HaRedes. So he's the head of the Gaivid of Yerushalayim, God on Bezin Yerushalayim, Minchas Yitzchak. So he disagrees with with the Chazanish. How does he have a right to disagree with the Gemara? Not disagreeing with the Gemara. So the Gemara is talking under different circumstances. So he says that even today the din is the same. Till the person reaches the age of 20, is considered a Sofik Nefer. Remember many years ago I mentioned this in a shir. So when I said the Minchas Yitzchak, I was chuckling. So there was one boy who comes to me 3 years later. He says to me, Rebbe, now I know that I'm alive. So I said, what does that mean? So he said, he was just 20 yesterday. And he said, when I said that in the shir, he got so scared because he was a premature baby and he was in the incubator. And then the hospital released him. So I said, the Chazanish says that it doesn't apply today. But then I said, with a big joke, I was laughing. I said, the Minchas Yitzchak disagrees with the Chazanish. He said, he started to perspire, he got so petrified, he's a Sofik Nefel. So now he's 20 years old, now he knows for sure that he's alive. This is around 30 years ago, the guy told me that. I think the Minchas Yitzchak is a joke, so no one should get scared. I think the Chazanish is right. Anyway, so the din is if you have a Vaday Lokal Alokhadoshov, so he's not considered a Bar Kayam until he reaches the age of 20 in the days of the Gemara. If it's Vaday Kol Alokhadoshov, and the Ramah says that Bizman is a Vaday Kol Alokhadoshov, does mean 9 full months of 30 days. It means the beginning entered into the 9th month. So Vaday Kol Alokhadoshov, you don't have to wait 30 days. He's not a Nefel. And if it's, you don't know, most of the time you don't know how long the woman was pregnant. She doesn't know when her pregnancy began for sure. So if it's any Yoduav, Kol HaLachadoshim or not, then in Ator you go, Basaroi Vlodis are not a Nefel, and with the Rabbanu you're treated as a Sofik Nefel. So the din is that if a Jewish person causes an abortion, he's not Chayiv Nisa. If a non-Jew does an abortion on a baby, B'Nerach Hezner Agal Ha'ubrim. So that's what the Marshor comments on the Gemara. Why did Paro have Dafke Jewish midwives to kill the babies? Because a Jew is not Chayiv Nisa if he kills an Uber. If a Ben Noach kills an Uber, he's Chayiv Nisa. He's not Chayiv Nisa, but it's still an Avera. It's a pshetl, what the Marshor said. Pashtus says that's not the Pshan. How did the Rishonim ask, how did the Gemara know that din? The Mishnah in Nida says, Tinik Ben Yomo, Ahorga Neragolov. Even if the baby was born today and you kill the baby, Yechayiv Nisa, and Ator Yechayiv Nisa. How did they know? Maybe it is maybe just like by Ben Noach. How do you know that Ben Noach is Chayiv Nisa al Hurbin? Because the Pasuk says, Shafech dam ha'odom ba'odom dam yishafir. So the simple reading of the Pasuk, the end of Parshas Noach, Shafech dam ha'odom kama. If a person kills someone else, ba'odom dam yishafir. Bezin Shalmata should punish him. Ba'odom dam yishafir, he gets Mises Bez, not just Mises B'deshamayim. Ba'odom dam yishafir, he gets Mises Bez. So the Torah Shabbal Peh has an additional level of interpretation on the pasuk shafech dam ba'odam ba'odam. If you kill a person is inside another person, you kill a fetus, dam yishafech yichayv mis if you kill the fetus. So how did the Gemara know that pasuk only goes on Bnei Noach? It happens that it's written after the Mabul, before Avraham Avinu came on the scene. It's talking to Bnei Noach, but maybe the din applies to Bnei Yisrael also. How did they know? So that's what Rav Shlomo Elovilna suggested. This Dechemed was a Sephardi who was born in Hebron, I think, in Eretz Yisrael. And then he took a Rabbonis in some location in Russia that was far away from civilization, probably Uzbekistan or something over there. And he didn't know what was going on there. They had different Menhogim and different Shitas on everything, so he didn't know whether they were pulling his leg, whether they were real legitimate Shitas, real legitimate Menhogim or not. He used to correspond with different rabbanim. He used to correspond with the Nitziv, with Rav Shlomo Elovilna, with many other rabbanim. And then he put together a whole encyclopedia of all the letters that he wrote, and all the different Torah alphabetically arranged. Nice as Techemet, a nice encyclopedia. So he quotes a letter from Rav Shlomo Elovilna. Rav Shlomo Elovilna didn't have, we have all the Meiris now. The Meiri says this also. He didn't know that. So they say the mocker for this, how did the Mishnah know that if you kill an Ubi in Abchaim Nisa? Because in Parshas Mishpatim, you have the din of the Mevelodis, that if two people are fighting, and one of them causes Nokvi Yishahar, V'yotzu Yolodeho, so it says, Im lo yehi osan, if the woman doesn't lose her life, you have to pay the Mevelodis. Masan Yeh, if the woman does lose her life, then you say, Kom Levi D'Rabminei, and you don't pay the Mevelodis. So why, even if the woman doesn't lose her life, but the fetus lost its life, so why is it not chay misa on the fetus? And you should say, come levi derabim. So you see from the chumash, from the whole institution and Beis Lavis, there's only come levi derabim if the woman, the pregnant mother, lost her life. The uba loses her life not. So that's the makkah, that's how the Mishnah knew, that only tinik ben yom echad, after the baby is born, then a harga neregolov. And an uba not. So that's what the Marsha has such an interpretation. Some of the mikros gedolos, they have the Marsha at the back at the end of every sedra. They have, whenever there's a Marsha and chidush agada anywhere in Shas, that comments on the pasuk in the sedra, so they have it in the back. So they quote this Marsha there. That's the pashtus, is that it's a pshetl. The simple pshat is, they had Jewish midwives for the Jewish women, they had non-Jewish midwives for the non-Jewish women. That's the pashtus.
We said that the source is from the Mevados. Don't we say it like by sometimes in the Torah, like Bantru or so, by Moshe Shemra, when the Torah specifically says that you're chayiv, like multiple times that it could buy? Like, we don't say Kedirish also.
The Moshe Shemra gets Malkus and he pays money also. That's all one big onus, yeah.
So
we don't say Kam Levi that, but here, this is the Parsha of Kam Levi the Rabbin. So it says in Masan Yeh, if the woman loses her life, then you don't pay the Mevalonis. If the woman doesn't lose her life, just the Uber, then you do pay the Mevalonis. They said the simple meaning is that for killing an Uber, there's no Chiyuv Misa. That's how the Tanoim saw it. The Miyaldos, Noshim, the Miyaldos, were Shifra and Puwa, and they were rewarded. Oh, that's Paro left instructions. He saw it's not going to go if it's only going to kill the male of the Jewish people. So he said, "Kol abein hayila hayor tashlechu lechol amo." Even the Mitzrayim also lechol abas techayun. So the pasuk says, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu rewarded the Miyaldos for not killing the babies." Vayas lehem batim. What does it mean, vayas lehem batim? Hey, the Gemara has a whole discussion. If they're supposed to perform an abortion, he's supposed to kill a baby before it's born, and their teretz was to paro the noshim ivrios, they have such a short labor, they give birth before we even come there. So you didn't want us to kill babies after they're born, you only want us to kill them before. How are they supposed to know whether it's going to turn out to be a boy or a girl? He told them only to kill the boys, not to kill the girls. In Beinhu Ba'amitanos and Basi B'choy, how are they supposed to know before the baby is born? So the women always have their own simanim. How do you know? So half the time they're right, half the time they're wrong. 50%, it's a 50-50 chance, whether it's a boy or a girl. So the Gemara has a whole story. How can you tell if it's a Rashi quotes pattern? How can you tell before the baby is born there's going to be a boy or a girl? Okay. But that's when the Chumash, you see like that. He told them they should only kill the Uber if it's going to turn out to be a boy. Going to be a girl, they shouldn't kill it. So if they're not going to kill the girls, so the din is whenever you have a mixed marriage, so if the mother is Jewish, the children are going to be Jewish. So if they're only going to be Jewish women, they're going to kill all the Jewish men. So the women are going to marry Mitzrayim. So the children are going to be Jewish anyway. So the Jewish people will be perpetuated. So it's terrible they're going to kill all the Jewish baby boys, but the baby girls are going to marry got to intermarry, they're going to marry non-Jewish men, and they're going to have children. So the Jewish people will not be wiped out, so it's not the great tragedy that we thought it's going to be. So what's going to be lacking over here? So Ravelo Soloveitchik suggests, but Mishpacha Sabkui, Mishpacha Seimeinakui, Mishpacha. You won't have any Kohanim, you won't have any Levim. Kohanim and Levim depends on the father, not on the mother. And what shevet you belong to also depends on the father, not on the mother. So no one's going to have any yichas. So that's why they were rewarded by Yaslahem Batim. They were rewarded with Bote Kuhune, Bote Leviya, and Bote Malchus. That's what Rashi quotes from the Medrash. They were rewarded that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sought that their descendants will be Kohanim, Leviim, and Malochim. Because the Mitzrayim, Paro, and his Gzeira wanted to kill all the Jewish boys. He wasn't going to wipe out the Jewish people, because the Jewish girls are going to have children. The children are going to be Jewish, because it all depends on their mother. But they won't be miyuchasim. They won't have any of the yichas, always comes from the father's side. So Mita Kenegan Mita, they were rewarded by Aslam Bati Rashi, because they were given Bati Kuna Leviya and Bati Malchus. Then the pasuk continues, Vayelechish Mbeisli, Vayikach as Bas Levi, Amra married Yocheved. What does it mean, Vayelechish Mbeisli? Where did he go from and where did he go to? So the Ibn Ezra has a funny comment. He says he lived in a different part of the city. So he, when he dated the girl, he had to go to Brooklyn. He was in Washington Heights, and the girl was in Stern College, whatever. He had to take a train to go take out the girl. By Yelchish Meisledi, he went to the other side of the town. So the Ramban quotes it. I think the Ramban is not happy about that. But it's interesting. The way the Ibn Ezra says, the Chumash is recording the dating process of Amram and Yocheved. We may have mentioned that the Kedushas Levi is a Sefer HaChumash by Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Ber Ditchever. He was a Mechutin of the Balatanya, the same generation. They were both Talmidim of the Mezricha Magid, who was a student of the Baal Shem Tov. So the Kedushas Levi has in his Sefer an interesting comment that the Torah describes how Yitzchak Avinu got to marry his wife. Eliezer ben Avram went and he picked Rivka and she came back and they met, and then how Yaakov Avinu got to marry his wives and Ben Moshe Rabbeinu got to marry his wives. How come it doesn't describe the way Avram met his wife and he got married to her? So he says the Chumash was never intended to be a biography of Big Tzaddikim. It's irrelevant how they met their wives. Avram Avinu was a non-Jew, probably met her at a New Year's Eve party, something. They were drinking and shine, they met each other. So it's not relevant. It describes the Shidduch of Yitzchak and Yankev and Moshe Rabbeinu. That was a Torah digger Shidduch. So that belongs in the Chumash. But Stam Avram Avinu wasn't Jewish at the time he met his wife. So there's no relevance in describing. It wasn't a Jewish Shidduch. So you should keep that in mind, that when you date a girl, it should be worthy of being written up in the Chumash. According to the Ben Ezra, the Chumash writes about the way Amram was dating Yocheved by Yelechish Mbeis Levi. Vayikach is Bas Levi. So Baspar went, Tered Baspar Lichotz al Hayor. Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Lichotz, she wanted to wash off Nigiluli Abodizor. Means she was Tovel and the Mikvah, Lashem Geirus. Koidim Atan Torah, the Gemara assumes Koidim Avram Megayeris Hanoshim, Sorem Megayeris Hanoshim. So the Gemara assumes that in the days of the Imohes, even before Matan Torah, the way for a non-Jewish woman to convert was to go to the mikveh. So that's what the Chazal seemed to understand. Lirchatz al hayor, she went to wash off Giludi Abedizor. She went to be toivel in the mikveh against her father's wishes. Her father was an Ovid Abedizor, and she was rebelling against the father. So she sees the baby, and she realized it must be a Jewish baby. They're hiding from the police. So she adopted the baby. So then Miriam, the sister, was a few years old. She was a few years older than Moshe Rabbeinu. And she says to Baspar, should I go get you a Jewish woman to nurse the baby? Why should she think she should get a Jewish woman? So the Medrash explains, because Basparo tried to give the baby to the Noshim Mitzvias to nurse, and he didn't want to nurse. Why is that? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Pesha Oseh L'Daber Mashchina. As a little baby, he was also to become this big tzaddik, to become the biggest Navi of all times. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNavim. It's not right that he should nurse from a non-Jewish woman. Why not? What's so terrible about nursing from a non-Jewish woman? So this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. There are more quotes in Yerideya that when a mother who's normally nursing her baby is not well enough to nurse, and you have to ask a non-Jewish woman to nurse the baby, you should try to see to it that the non-Jewish woman should not eat non-kosher food during those few days that she's nursing the baby, because the food always, the flavor of the food always goes over into the milk. Strictly speaking, the milk of Pidin is the same. It's kosher milk, whether it comes from a woman who ate kosher food or non-kosher food. But when you diaper the baby, if the mother had the mother had something red, the diaper is going to be red. The mother had something brown, the diaper is going to be brown. The baby's drinking milk, but apparently whatever the mother ate has an effect on the milk that the baby drinks. So we assume that macholas asuras ametamte mesalev, it has a negative effect on the soul, even if it's behet gomer. The milk is kosher, but it comes from one who was eating kosher or non-kosher. It's just that Moshe Rabbeinu is Pesha Asir, the Dabir Mashchina. So he didn't want to nurse from the non-Jewish mother. So what does the Ramah apply this to today? Why does it apply today? Without my baby is not Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rav Yanka Kamenetsky is famous for having made the comment, we don't want to cheat our children from any opportunity. Maybe our children someday will be able to have the potential to be great like Moshe Rabbeinu. So if we're going to give him, we're going to have him nurse from a non-Jewish woman who ate non-kosher food, they're going to ruin their chance of becoming as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. They should always leave all the possibilities open. He may become a big surgeon, may become a big math professor, may become a big biologist, may become a big rabbi, so may become Adon Hanavi, maybe become somebody great. So you shouldn't cheat your children from any opportunity. You should see to it that when a non-Jewish woman has to nurse the baby, she should eat kosher food. That's quoted, the Ramah quotes it from Agos Oshri, HaMaseches Avodah Zarah. The Pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the mother realized there was something different. Vatar hu isha vatel ben vater osi ki tofu. What do you mean? Every baby is good, a good baby. There was something special about Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Medrash has different suggestions. What does mean ki tofu? So one of the suggestions is that he was noilad mohu. When he was born, he didn't have any orla. He didn't need a bris. He didn't need a bris. As I mentioned before, that Rab David Navardiker, delivered a hesped on Rab Chaim Balozhin. He had some kind of tainus, I forgot also, had some kind of tainus against Rab Chaim Balozhin. And then Rab Chaim Balozhin wanted to show him that he was wrong, but he didn't want to hurt his feelings. So he sent two balabatim with a make-believe din Torah to Rab David Navardiker. And one had a taina against the other, and they wanted Rav Dov Navardiker to paskin on the case. So he thought about the case and he paskin. And then episodes later, he found out that the whole thing was a fake. There was no din Torah. Chaim Balozhin had told him they should present such an argument because he's going to realize himself that he made him. Rav Dov Navardiker is going to realize that made a mistake in misjudging me, and he'll give the psak when he was Nagir B'Dover. He thought that I judged wrong, and now I judged him wrong. And now when he's going to give the psak, he'll realize. So he found out later on there was no case. Rab Chaim Balozhin had sent him, and he gained such respect for Rab Chaim Balozhin. So when Rab Chaim passed away, so he delivered a hesped. So the hesped begins as follows: that the Chachamim tell us, "Es mispa yamecha amalei Hakadosh Baruch Hu malish nesem shel tzaddikim miyom liyom." Tzaddikim die on their birthday. I had a cousin who was the head of economics here in the yeshiva, Aaron Levine. So Aaron Levine was born on Pesach night to the first Seder. He died on Pesach night, first Seder. Mamish like the tzaddik. So Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar and he died on Zayin Adar. So he starts off his hesped for Rav Chaim Balozhin. How come, we all assume Rav Chaim Balozhin was a big tzaddik, how come he didn't die on his birthday? How come he died a week after his birthday? So he farenfes the kasha. And he says that the Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin has a discussion, if a baby dies, how old does the baby have to be that it should be zeched to go to Olam Haba? So a different opinion. So one opinion is when the baby is born, one opinion is when the baby starts to say Divrei Torah, and one opinion in the Gemara is when the baby has a bris milah. So he says, we assume that the correct opinion is when the baby has a bris milah. Rav Chaim Balozhin was born on this day, but he didn't have a bris milah till a week later. So that's called miyom liyom, because if he would have died before he had the bris, he wouldn't go to Olam Haba. So that's considered mamalish nasei miyom liyom. So you have a question: so how come Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zayin Adar? He should have died on Yudalit Adar. So the answer is because it was Nolad Mohu. So I think if anyone would deliver hesped like that today, everybody would burst into laughter. If I remember, it's a kasha based on the other agarata. But they believed in every Maimon Chazal, every Agarate, that's the Pshat. So that's how he begins his Hesped on Rav Chaim Balozhin, on Ki Tovu, that he was Noilad Mohu. So that's why he died on the same day that he was born. Well, then the Pasuk continues, Bayyamim Harabi Mahay, Moshe Rabbeinu looks around and he says, Vayarish Mitzvim Mak Ishivim Yechov. One of the Mitzvim is they were forcing the Jews to forced labor. And he was hitting a Jew. Vayifin Kokalayaki Nish, Vayachas HaMitzri, and he killed the Mitzri. What do you mean? Vayaki Enish. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Enish lots its memeno. He's not going to have any Jewish descendants. A lot of non-Jews, their great-grandchildren will convert to become Jewish. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Baruch HaKodesh, none of this mitzvah's descendants will ever convert to become Jewish. So he felt he has the right to kill him. Why? No, he felt they had the right to kill him because he was about to kill a Jew. He was a Raitiv. So you should kill him. So you should kill him even if his children will become Jewish. Well, does it depend whether they're going to become Jewish or not? So the answer is, Vayarish Mitzri Makish Shivi Echov, he saw Baruch HaKodesh. Apparently he didn't see it with his own eyes. So the din is Benoach is Nerek Chai Misa. Haritzicha is Benoach is Nerek. The Eid Echod of Bedayin Echod. You have to have an Eid Echod. You can't kill someone based on Baruch HaKodesh. So Moshe Rabbeinu sees Baruch HaKodesh that this man is Chai Misa. So you have no right to give Misa's Bezen. So he only is going to give Misa B'day Shammai. So the pasuk continues the next day when he saw two Jews fighting, Shtei Anashim Ivrim Nitzim. So one of them says, "Ha-hargeni ato omer, you're going to kill me by speaking." That's what Rashi quotes. He killed the day before when Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Ish Mitzri. He killed them by mentioning the Shem Hashem. It was a form of Misa B'day Shemaim. So if you give Misa's Bezen, you give Misa's Bezen even if he won't be able to raise his children, even if his wife is going to be an almana, you ignore all the other things around it. Even if he will have children and descendants, if he wouldn't have been killed, he would have had descendants who would convert to become Jew. It doesn't matter if he deserves Misa's Bezen, he deserves. But if he's only going to kill him with Misa B'day Shemaim, Halo Argeni Ato Omer Kasharaktes HaMitzri, so then you have to Misa B'day Shemaim, you have to look into the future. Something is good is going to come out of him. So then you don't kill him. So it says, Vayaki Enish, Enish, he osid losid mentally his guy. So that's why he gave him the Misa B'day Shemaim. That's what Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the Pshat and the Pasuk. Very interesting Pasuk. So Moshe Rabbeinu makes a comment. Moshe Rabbeinu was scared. This miserable Jew is going to master on him to the police. He says, Okay, no da hadavor. The Rashi says, the Pshat, now I realize why the Jews are suffering in Egypt. They don't even support each other. The guy's prepared to master on me. He's prepared to beat up the other fellow Jew. We should all be together. We should all have achdus. There's no achdus among the Jewish people. So that's why they deserve not to have a geula. That's when Hashem appears in the burning bush later on in the parsha. So the Medrash says it was 7 days. 7 days where Ribbono Shel Olam keeps on asking Moshe Rabbeinu to go for a shlichus, and every day has a different teretz. Has a different excuse why he doesn't want to go. So one day, one taina was, Mi anochi, I am not worthy of being the shliach. Where is it? Yud Aleph, chapter Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu says, one time, Mi anoch, I am not worthy. That's the Pashup Shot, I am not worthy. Others say, they quote from the Brisker Rav, from Adavel, Mi anochi, you told Yaakov Avinu, anochi, Erid Inchman, Simon, anochi, Al Chogam Aloy, I, the Baruch Shalom said, I will take the Jewish people out of Egypt. What do you mean? Mi anochi, I'm not the Baruch Shalom. The Baruch Shalom said, he's going to make the Gula, not me. And you told Avraham Avinu also, Ger Yisach Beres Lalehem, Gamas Agai Sheavod, Don Anochi, I will judge them. The Baruch Shalom said, Don Anochi, I will judge them. And he said, Anochi Eridin Chman Tzav, Anochi Alchaga, I will bring the Jewish people out. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Am I that Anochi? Anochi Eridin Chman, Anochi Alchaga, Moloi. And he said, The Anochi meant the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to judge Paro. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to make the Gula. I'm not Anochi. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, No, Ki Yeimach. I'm going to be with you. So it is going to be Anochi. You're going to be with me together. Not that you're going to do it on your own. I'm going to be with you. You're going to do Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the first time he says, Mi Anochi, Rashi says, I'm not worthy. Rashi is quoting the Medrash. And Adabala had his interpretation. Mi Anochi, I'm not there. Baruch Shalom says, no, ki e'imach, I'll be with you. Then the second time was, chiyotzis b'nei Yisrael mitzrayim, they're not worthy either. The Jewish people are not worthy of having a gula. So the Baruch Shalom says, no, they will be worthy. They will be worthy. Don't worry. They will be worthy. Pashup shot that Maimon HaSinu will take place over here. Tavanot Selekim, Loshen Kodesh. In the 1500s, there was one of the Sfardish Rabbanim, the Mechaber mentions his name in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, that they put him in Cherem for something that he used to give wild rushes. So they put him in Cherem for something. So one of the other things that they didn't like was that he interpreted, they will worship the Egel Alohoraza. Tavadun Salahim goes on the Egel. So they were very upset. That's not the Pshat. When the Sefer writes it, he has to have in mind the Mimkadish Deshem. It doesn't go on the Egel, it goes on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maimon HaSinu will take place Alohoraza. It doesn't mean the Chet Egel. Chet Egel will also take place. But the Moshe is telling that the Bnei Yisrael are worthy. Moshe Rabbeinu's Taina was Chiyotzis ben al diyaris ben tzrayim, a second time, they're not worthy. The Baruch Shalom says they will be worthy. It's going to be Kabbalah Sater. Then he says, Moshe Rabbeinu had a third time, they're going to ask me, Mashma by Marleim. I don't even know the Shem Hashem. So the Baruch Shalom tells him, Eke Asher Eke. That's one of the Zayin Shem Hashem Nimchakim. One of the seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both the first and the second, Eke. Eke Asher Eke. What does it mean, Eke Asher Eke? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, I will be with the Jewish people to the rest of the Golus Mitzrayim. I will bring them out from Mitzrayim, and I will be with them in the future Golius as well, and I will redeem them from that as well. So Rashi fills in for the Medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Baruch Shalom, come on, you have to tell us there's going to be more Golus. It's bad enough. They're aggravated about this Golus. Don't tell them about the future Golus. Baruch Shalom said, I'm telling you. Don't tell them. When you tell them Eke Shlachani Alechem. Don't tell them Eke Asher Eke. Just say one. So the Vilna Gaon has in Yerideya, in Hilchos Sefer Torah, in the third Chelik Yerideya, they talk about the writing of the Zayin Shem Hashem in Mechokim. So the Vilna Gaon has a discussion whether both Eke is Hashem Hashem. So we assume that both are, not just the first. We assume both Eke is Hashem Hashem, and the Sefer has to have in mind on both to be Mekadosh Hashem. But it was at the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu there will be a Gula Hasida. He already promised him, Eke Asher Eke, I will be with the Jewish people to redeem them and to redeem all of mankind in the Gula Hasida. It will be the Tikkun HaOlam for the whole world, not just for the Jewish people. That's about Pesach night. The first half of the Seder, we speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Then the second half, after the meal, we say, Neshmas Kol Chai, Tevorach HaShimcha, the day will come then when all of mankind will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the Gula Hasida. But that's only, well, why do we speak about that on Pesach? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was told about it before Yetzias Mitzrayim. Eke Asher Eke, I will be with them in this Golus, I will be with them in the future Golus and redeem them from the future Golus as well. But we know that the future Gula Hasida will only take place when all of mankind will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are people who don't want to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are people who want to worship Avodah Zarah. So before we say Nishmas Kol Chai, we say Nishmas Kol Chai at the end of the second half of the Hallel, after the meal, after the end of the Seder. So before you say the second half of the Hallel, so we open the door, and we say Shpach HaMas Kol Agai Mashalo Yidu'ucha. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not fair that because there are 51% of the nations of the world recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech HaOlam. There are 49% that don't recognize it. That's not fair that they should hold up the Gula Hasida. Why don't you wipe them out? Shvei Chamas Chalam Shaloi Yidoucha. Get rid of those people, the minority who don't accept you. And then it'll come out that all the nations of the world accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you'll bring the Gula Hasida. That's what we pray for on Pesach night. We say, Shvei Chamas Chalagayim, the minority who don't want to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they should come, that'll be Nishmas Kochad, that all of mankind will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That'll be the fulfillment of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu before Yetzias Mitzrayim, that there will be a Gula Hasida. So again, so the third time that Moshe Rabbeinu had was, they're going to ask me, Mashma, I don't even know the Shem Hashem. So he tells them, Eke Asher Eke.
First, Moshe is fearful for his life when he kills the Mitzri. I don't understand. He was a powerful man, the daughter of Paro's daughter. Okay, so But then when Hashem sends his back, he like walks in with no fear at all. It just doesn't.
The Baruch Shalom went with him. Eh, yeah, he mach. Baruch Shalom went with Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what he tells him. You don't have to be afraid of anyone. I'm going to be with you the whole time. Yeah. And then he says, Pakod Pakarti, tell Bnei Yisrael, Pakod Pakarti Eschem. Tell them the Kefal Oshin. This was a, Moshe Rabbeinu was, had ran away. He wasn't brought up in the Jewish schools. He was brought up in Beis Paro. So he didn't have a Jewish education in Mitzrayim. And then he left and he was, as an adult, he was in Midian for so many years. So he didn't have any of the traditions. All the Bnei Yisrael knew that there was a tradition. When the Gula will come, it's going to be with a Kefal Oshin. When Yaakov Avinu says, Yosef says, no, Yosef said, Yaakov Avinu said he wants to be buried outside. Atzmas Yosef, that was Yosef. Yosef said, Halismas Atzmoisai. But Yosef had that tradition, Pakod Yivkod, the Goyal will say a Kefal Oshin. So, but how are we going to know that how is that a good simon if all the Jews know that that's the simon Ledover? So any fake could come along and say, Pakod Pakarte Yaschem. The answer was, it had to be some stranger, some ger, or someone who wasn't brought up in the Olam HaYeshivas. So it had to be Moshe Rabbeinu, the most unlikely person. He was brought up in Paris Palace. He never went to kindergarten. He never sang, I have a little dreidel. He didn't know anything about the Yamatab, didn't know anything about Yiddishkeit. Then as an adult, he was in Midyon. He was a shepherd, didn't know anything. And he comes and he says, Pakod Pakarte Yaschem. So that was the code, that was the secret code. When you say a Kefal Oshin, it was a person who shouldn't know the code. And he said it, that's how they knew that it was him. Then he says, then Moshe Rabbeinu had another taina. The Hein Lo Yaminu Li, they're not going to believe me. The din is that you don't believe a person. A person comes and he says, I'm a Novi. Maybe he's a Meshuggah. Who says that he's a Novi? So the Gemara says, in order that you should be obligated, you're supposed to listen. How do I know the man is a Novi? Maybe he's a crackpot. So he has to first establish himself. He has to be a Novi Mukhsar. He has to show some osas and mofsim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lo yaminu li, why should they listen to me? I'm not a Novi. How do I prove I'm a Novi? So Rav Shalom says, you'll show the two mofsim. And then he picks it up again. That's the first simon. Then he shows another simon. Put your hand on your chest. He takes it out. Mitzuras kasholik. Then he says, put your hand back in your chest. Turn back into normal flesh color. So these were the two mopsim, the two osas, and Moshe Rabbeinu will be accepted as a Novi Mukhsok. He established himself. He doesn't have to keep on showing osas every single time he gets a nevuah. Once he's established as a Novi Mukhsok, so you have to listen to everything that he says. Then Moshe Rabbeinu has another taina. Lo ish dvarim anochi. Gam etmol, gam ishashom, gam yoz daber chalavda. Ki kvad peh, kvad loshen anochi. What do you mean kvad peh? So the Medrash interprets that Moshe Rabbeinu was a little baby. He grabbed for the burning coals, and then he burnt his tongue, and he had a speech defect. So he says, it's not quote Shamayim that the shliach of the Ribbono Shel Olam should be a man, doesn't speak well. The Rishonim say that's a medrash. I think maybe the Rashbam says, Kvalosh, that means I spent so many years in Midian, I don't speak a fancy Egyptian. I speak Hatzebrochene Egyptian. So it's not quote Shemayim that the Novi who's representing the Ribbono Shel Olam for the Gula Mitzrayim should be a person who doesn't speak well. You need a public speaker. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I will be with you. Misam pe'alodam amiyos amilei mecharesh. Hello, Anochi Hashem. Go. I'm going to be Anochi Eyem Picha. I will give you the ability to speak well. Then he says another taina, Shlach Novi Atishlach. He says, it's Hasagas Gvola, my brother. My brother was a Novi already. Aaron HaKohen was a Novi already in Mitzrayim. So the Baruch Shalom says, it's no Hasagas Gvul, your brother is Moichel. Hala Aaron Achich HaLevi Yadat Ki Dabi Dabi Hu Gam He'll be Yavrocha V'samach B'libo. It's no Hasagas Gvul. Moshe Rabbeinu is concerned Hasogas Gvul. He's holding by the Gulas Mitzrayim. He's concerned you can't do Hasogas Gvul. My brother has already been established as a Navi. It should be Hasogas Gvul. Rabbeinu Shalom says, don't worry, your brother is Merchel Nanuskov. So the Medrash says that this debate was taking place for 7 days. Every day the Rabbeinu Shalom encourages him again, and every day he keeps on refusing. So then, it wasn't right on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu to refuse. So it says, "Vayichar af Hashem," in Pasuk Yud Dalet. "Vayichar af Hashem u'Moshe." HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry, and there's one opinion, there's machlekes in the Medrash. Whenever it says "Charoin af," the popular opinion in the Medrash is whenever it says "Charoin af," it means there's a roshim. It means that someone got angry and he did something about it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, my original plan was that you were going to be the Kohen and your brother Aaron is going to be the Levi. Now I'm going to switch it. You're a terrible guy. I'm going to make you a Levi. He's going to be the Kohen. He says, Aaron Achicha Levi. Yeah, he's a Navi. The plan was he's going to be the Levi. You're going to be the Kohen. And you give me such a hard time, I'm going to punish you. So that's what the Medrash says. It says Charanaf. Whenever it says Charanaf, means that there is a Roshan, that there is some punishment. Later on in Parshas Va'era, I think, again it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appoints Moshe Rabbeinu to take Bnei Yisrael out, and Moshe Rabbeinu refuses, and it doesn't say, Be'ichar Af Hashem. So why does he keep on refusing? The Rabbanu Shalom already punished him. Where is it? In Parshas Va'era, chapter Vav, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vodav Be'er Apalach, Me'an Tzom Yishalach, Bnei Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, hey, Bnei Yisrael, lo shomar lev, echish b'ni far, ani aral sfasayim. He tries to dray his way out. What is he arguing again? He was already punished for turning it down days before in Parshas Shmos. Why does he keep on refusing? So the Meshech Chochma explains why. He says that the din is that when the Gabbai wants to be mechabed you with an aliyah, you have to run to take the aliyah. You're not supposed to refuse. The Gemara says there are three things, Shlosha Dvar Mekatsu Yama Vishnos Shal Adam. There are three things that cause you to die before your years are up. And one of them is, they give you a Sefer Torah, they give you an aliyah, and you don't want to take the aliyah. A lot of Balabatim give me Chamishi. Such a bizoyan to take Chamishi. Or something like that. They didn't give me Shishi, they give me Shlishi. So you're not allowed to refuse, you refuse an aliyah. So in Parsha Shmais, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to go be a shliach, and he keeps on refusing. So he deserves to be punished. You're not allowed to refuse when it's time to do a mitzvah. But if the Gabbai wants you to serve, to function as the shliach tzibur, so then the Mishnah implies that Aruch Eretz dictates you should refuse the first time, second time, and only when he asks you the third time, then you should go. The Mishnah has it by implication. The Mishnah says, if the first shliach tzibur gets stuck in the middle of Chazaras HaShas, he didn't have a sitter, so he's davening everything by heart. These are the Tanoim. They didn't have the Nusach HaTfilah written down. It was part of Torah Shebaal Peh, so you weren't allowed to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh. So it says, what happens if the Shliach Tzibur Shenishtateg, he got stuck in the middle of Chazaras HaShas, he can't continue. Yamen Achat Tachtov, let someone else go quickly. He shouldn't refuse at that time. So the Gemara says, normally when the Gabbai asks you, before this Zman Tefillah, we'd like you to daven for Anomen. So the Derech Eretz dictates you should refuse the first time, refuse a little bit the second time, only when he asks you the third time, then you should go. So why is it, but if the guys at the first Shliach Tzibur got stuck in the middle, so then lo yehesag moser, under those circumstances, the Derech Eretz dictates you should not be a sarvah, you shouldn't stand on the ceremonies, you should run to take over the Chazaras HaShatz. So why is there a discrepancy between an aliyah and serving as the shliach tzibur? So the Meshech Chochma explains, an aliyah is a mitzvah, but to be the shliach tzibur means that you are worthy to represent the whole tzibur, to present their tefillahs to the Rebbeinu Shlom. That's like a srora. So that, the Eretz dictates, you should turn it down. The first two times are not worthy. So that's what the Meshech Chochma explains. And Parsha Shmais, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking Moshe Rabbeinu to do a shlichas. He wants him to deliver the prophecy to Far Melchon Zion. So he turns him down. That's not their chavetz. He should have run to do it. That's like getting an aliyah. But in Parshas Va'era, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm appointing you as the leader of the Jewish people. The next pasuk says, I'm appointing you as a leader of the Jewish people, and you have to treat them nicely, because the leader has to suffer bizarreness from the people. They're going to scream at you, they're going to hit you. You're appointed as a leader. And then Ela Rasha Beis Avosim B'nei Ruvim B'nei Shimon B'nei Levi. What is it listed? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, they really wanted to give the yichus of Moshe and Aaron, because you shouldn't appoint people to a leadership position unless they have a good yichus. So since they had a mitoch shuhuska kliaches shifta shalevi till Moshe and Aaron, so they wrote the yichus of Reuven and Shimon till you get to Levi. Why was it hutzoch kliaches shifta shalevi? Because you can't appoint someone to a position of srara. Some tosim alecha melech mekerav achecha tosim alecha melech kol mesimus b'mashma. Some tosim kol mesimus. So to appoint Moshe and Aaron as the leaders of the Jewish people, they have to have a good yichus. So you see that in Parshas Ve'era, that's what's going on. Vayitzaveim al b'nei Yisrael, Mashi Rashi quotes in the Medrash, he instructed them as leaders of the Jewish people, you have to treat the Jewish people nicely. You should expect that they're going to give you a hard time, they're going to curse you, they're going to pull all kinds of shtick, you have to treat them nicely. So then when they're appointed as leaders, at derech eretz dictates, you should refuse a little bit. Say, I'm not worthy. So there he wasn't punished for refusing, but in Parshas Shmos, he was punished. And the Medrash interprets that he argued with the Ribbono Shel Olam for 7 days in a row. So that's pretty stubborn. So where are we up to? So he ran away to Midian. They shouldn't arrest him. And they shouldn't put him in prison for killing the Mitzri. And then he saves the Benos Yisro. So Yisro asked the children, how come he got home so quick today? Madur mihatim bo hayom. So they told him that every single day the other shepherds would tease them and give him a hard time, and they had to give the water to the flock after everybody else. And today there was some goy there, we don't know who he is, some Egyptian goy, and he chased away all the other shepherds and he saw to it that we had. So he says, why don't you invite him to eat by us? Kiren lo v'yochal lechem. What does it mean? So the Medrash, Rashi quotes the Medrash, Shema Yisa Achaz Mehem. Shema Yisa Achaz Mehem. Invite him to eat. The way to the man's heart is through his stomach. That's the English expression. So invite him to eat a meal. He had a lot of daughters. So invite him to eat a meal. He had 7 daughters. That's when Yiddish folklore, they say that he had 7 different names, because each time he married off a daughter, he'd be killed in bankruptcy, so he shouldn't have to pay the bills. He had to have 7 different names. That's in Yiddish folklore. That's not a Medrash. So he says, Kiren lo v'yochal lochem. That's why the Chacham made a din. You're not allowed to eat bishalakum, because intermarriage is a serious aveira. It leads to shmad. So if you're going to eat the food that's cooked by the non-Jew, you may decide you want to have ebi kikest. This is good stuff. So you may want to marry the goy's daughter in order to have such delicious food. So that's what Yisro tells the Tzar. Kiren lo v'yochal lochem. They said, Ish mitzvi hitzi lanu, and when he heard about it later, he didn't correct them. So the Medrash says, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu was not zeichet to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? And Yosef was, because Yosef, they knew from the beginning to the end, where he was Ish Ivri. He never denied the fact that he's Jewish. And Moshe Rabbeinu somehow hid the fact. They said, "Anish mitzvi hitzilon miyad arayim," and he didn't correct them. He left it like that. So because he wasn't proud of the fact that he was Jewish, that's why he wasn't zeichet to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Well, that's what the Medrash says. Then the pasuk continues, "Vayhi b'yamim harav mehim, v'yamis melech mitzrayim." The king of Egypt dies. So we mentioned this pasuk in the Haggadah. We recite the Aram Yavid Avi, that's Parshas Mikra and Bikurim, and we give a running commentary of the Torah Shabbat Peh pasuk by pasuk. So with the pasuk in Arami Avad Avad, it says Anitzik Kol Hashem Lakei Abusenu VeYishma Hashem Biskaleinu VeYarves Anyenu VeSamaleinu VeSlachatzenu. We daven to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and He accepted our prayers. Shenemar Kemoshenemar, and we still quote this pasuk. So what do we gain by quoting the pasuk? It makes it clearer. We understand it a little better. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say over, almost every year, he used to say over comments on the Haggadah before Pesach. So many of the comments were traditional comments that he got from the Nesivis put out a Siddur. That's called Derech HaChaim Siddur. Mishneh Berurah quotes on every other page. He quotes a Psak from the Derech HaChaim. Derech HaChaim in a Siddur, he has a Nusach HaTfilah, and then he has Piskei Halacha like a kid to Shulchan Aruch. Every so often, he writes his original Chiddush on the Haggadah. He has a commentary, his own commentary, it's called Maisa Nisim. So they printed separately Maisa Nisim Haggadah. But originally it was published together with the Siddur, in the Derech HaChaim Siddur. So he has a comment, the Maisa Nisim Haggadah from the Nesivis has a comment on this. He says, truth of the matter is the Jews didn't pray in Egypt. They weren't davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When someone did say, Kalash Hashem Elokei v'sanei Yishma Hashem v'skalein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered our prayers, K'mo she'nemar, it says that they, Vayamas Melech Mitzrayim, they were crying out from the difficult labor that they had to do. But Tal Shabbos HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard them crying from the labor min HaVoida. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His kindness, considered it as if they had prayed to Him. We really didn't pray. We really didn't daven. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's why we quote a pasuk to interpret the pasuk in Mikra Bikurim, that it doesn't really mean that we daven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Berov Chasadov considered it as if we daven. Then the pasuk says, "Vayar Elokim is bnei Yisrael, vayeda Elokim." Very unclear pasuk. "Vayar Elokim is bnei Yisrael, vayeda Elokim." What is it referring to? So in the Haggadah we say, "Vayeda Elokim is uprishas derech eretz." Derech eretz means tashmish between a husband and wife, married couples. So how do you see that in "vayeda Elokim"? So it's not derech eretz. It's not bekabedik to say what they did. They didn't allow the husband and wife to have marital relations. So the pasuk says it, Beremiza, Vayeda Elokim. So the Chazal had a tradition, Zuprishas Derech Eretz. It's something that it's not proper to talk about. But there's a famous interpretation that the Beis HaLevi has on this pasuk. It's Nagel Aloche. It's a question if it's correct. He has a Chiddush. He says, let's say a person, I hold up a gun, and I just robbed the bank, and I hold the gun on Shabbos. I robbed the bank on Shabbos. I want you to drive the getaway car to drive me wherever, across the bridge. So, Pikuach Nevis Derech Shabbos. If you don't drive the getaway car, I'm going to shoot you. So, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, I shouldn't shoot you. What happens if you're not a Shem Shabbos? You were going to drive the car anyway. You're going to drive across the bridge anyway to go visit someone in New Jersey. And then I come and I hold the gun and I say, drive the car or I shoot you. You plan to drive the car anyway. So the Beis HaLevi said, that's not called Oynes Rachmana Patri. It's Chai Misa for the Chilul Shabbos. That's a Chiddush. So he says, so he interprets the pasuk, V'ayar Elokim is B'nai Yisrael, the Bnei Shalom knew that the Jewish people didn't, the Medrash has a famous comment, when it was time for Kriyas Yamsuf, so the Torah Shal Yam didn't want to split. Why should I split for the Jewish people and then let the Mitzrim drown? Halolo Abdei Avodah Zarah, Halolo Abdei Avodah Zarah. The Jews were worshipping Avodah Zarah when they were in Mitzrayim. So the Bnei Shalom says, you don't know. The Mitzrim were worshipping Avodah Zarah because they wanted to. The Jews were forced into it. They had no choice. They had to worship Avodah Zarah. So that's what the Beis HaLevi interprets. Vayar Elokim is Bnei Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu looked into their hearts. Vayeda Elokim, the Bnei Shalom knew that their worshipping Avodah Zarah was bainis. They really didn't want to. Another person who worships Avodah Zarah, he would have, another person who does whatever Averis he does, if he planned to do the Aver anyway, even someone holds a gun to his head and he threatens to kill him if he doesn't do it, so then that's not called bainus. But the Rabban Shalom knew what the story was, so Vayeda Elokim, he understood that by us it was bainus. That's a famous interpretation that the Beis HaLevi has, and it's a question whether it's correct or is galt nal pidin. Is it really correct nal pidin? Okay, we better stop here. On Shabbos, I think I'm supposed to say the Parsha in the dorm. So, whoever's here on Shabbos, I'll finish. Okay.
Is this going to be a mentioning out loud with the group, we're supposed to just, is there supposed to be a pause between when we say amen and when we finish our bracha? Like, we're not supposed to look like we're saying amen to our bracha.
Yeah.
So that ideal situation would be for the person to
wait a little bit, yeah.
To say it,
yeah.
To then finish, wait a little bit, have everyone else say it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ideal. A lot of things. Ideal situation. Yes. Uh-huh. Are we going to make it? We'll try.
Okay. It's usually whoever's in for Jarvis. It's your garbage here.
Guess not. Where's he davening?
Huh?
Where's he davening?
I
wouldn't
assume anything. No? Alright, send me the schedule. Yes.
Is anyone going to the Chalitza? It's at 12, but it's at the RCA. It's not here.
Yes.
Tomorrow in Midtown.
Almost downtown, 20th Street.
Why is it like a big viewing party?
It's always good, so it's meant to be a party. It happens very quickly.
People are gone.
I might go. Problem is, it's really not convenient.
Where's Midtown?
28th Street.
Midtown.
Past Midtown.
There's a mitzvah to make a big deal about it.
And also, it happens very frequently, so people like to watch. Mm-hmm. Unless, Rosh Chodesh 7, unless sometimes the family is sensitive about it, it's also generally sad, because it means that
they
got married and then very quickly someone died, or.
Yeah. Any children?
Or they didn't have any children, but more often than not, it's because they're young and didn't have children, than old and didn't have children.
Also, corn nuts. I discovered lots of good nuts.
Those are great.
You can get corn nuts.